is so delicious.
It's Sextastic Tuesday.
Onga come.
Yeah, fuck my fucking armpits, yeah.
Oh my god! Dick and nuts!
I fucked my brother. I fucked him.
I see a lot of penises. Animals' penises.
You know what NAMLA stands for, don't you? No ass may be left alone.
You'll dig it, alright?
It's Tuesday, June 24th, 2008. Coming up on the program today, six times the sheep fucking fun. Plus, the return of stuffed pubic steak. And why you shouldn't let your pimp babysit. All of this plus a brand new edition of Sextastic Tuesday. It's all coming up right here, right now, on the Distorted View Show.
It's the Distorted View Show with Tim Henson.
Yes, Timothy James Henson back here with you for the Tuesday podcast. Thank you guys so much for checking out the show. Got a great one for you. You know, the last couple weeks, people have been emailing me kind of angry because we've done some exclusive sideshow programs on Tuesday featuring stories that Corey has written. And unfortunately, you freeloading non-paying members weren't able to hear those. So today I'm going to rectify the situation. Corey has written a brand new Sextastic Tuesday story, and we're going to get into that right now, as a matter of fact. For those of you new to the program, Sextastic Tuesday is a stupid bit where I read you insane, bizarre, or just gross pieces of erotic fiction. Normally these stories are sent in to me. Maybe a listener runs across an X-rated piece of Punky Brewster fan fiction. I don't know. Or maybe someone finds a hairpiece fetish website featuring stories of guys jerking off into their toupees or something. Those are the type of stories we typically read. Corey writes his own Sextastic Tuesday stories, which I also urge you guys to do. Maybe you could write your own erotic stories and then send them to me, and perhaps I'll read them on the show. So today's story is called Off the Deep End. Enjoy.
It's Sextastic.
It was spring break in Acapulco, Mexico. The sizzling beaches were bustling with scantily clad women. Jim and his frat club buddies arrived and began scouting the sands. Scouting for pussy? One of the drunk frat boys, Brad, blurted, "God damn it, I am so hammered! Woo! These chicks better all be on Norplant, because I will trash them with my cock! Yee-haw!" As he guzzled from his dual beer bong hat, ripped his wife beater's shirt, and revealed his hookah shell necklace in party beads. "There will not be a plow big enough to shovel the satisfied bodies off of this beach. Yeah, show us your tits!" Brad demanded. "Brad, we are at the senior citizen and mentally handicapped nude beach. Yeah, could you pull your swim trunks up?" Derek said, as an elderly woman tripped over a washed-up jellyfish on the beach. They finally arrived to their destination with hundreds of hot spring break college women. "Hang on, check out that chick," Rusty said. Out of all the women, they noticed the lifeguard, Maria. She was a native-born Mexican with shimmering dark hair, smooth caramel skin, pouty lips, and a gorgeous curvy body. She had a whistle that laid gently between her giant flotation devices. Rusty then said, "Oh man, I have a challenge for you, Jim. I want to see you have sex on the beach with that chick, right here, right now." "That would be impossible," Jim replied. Rusty suggested, "Jim, I have a plan. You should go way out in the ocean and then pretend that you're drowning so you can get rescued by the lifeguard. She'd have her hands all over you. You'd get a little mouth-to-mouth resuscitation," as Rusty elbowed Jim in the kidney. "But wait, if she's tied up with me, aren't we endangering the lives of hundreds of people?" Jim asked. Don't take all the fun out of this, man. Besides, I've never even seen you with a woman. You need this more than any of us, Rusty said. Okay, I'll give it a go, Jim said. Jim put on his SpongeBob SquarePants inflatable armbands and goggles and entered the ocean. He swam with his beach ball past the deep water sign. Little did his friends know, but Jim had no interest in the lifeguard. All his life he had a macrovore fetish and desired to be eaten alive by a great white shark. I was wondering when this would become a Sextastic Tuesday story. Ding, 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 I think we found that point. He popped his large beach ball full of blood and chum, which he got 75% off at a bait store. What a deal! The chum spread around, which was foreplay for a nearby shark. Within minutes, a fin was visible from 200 feet away as Jim's heart started to race. Ba-bump, 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 ba-bump. It's a heart racing. The 18-foot great white shark darted straight for Jim. Up close, the shark looked mildly retarded. Or it was because all sharks tend to look like they have Down syndrome. The shark opened his huge cave of ferocious fangs, which looked similar to the teeth of self-help guru Tony Robbins. You're so beautiful! Usually when I have sex, I put a pillow over my lover's face, but you are simply gorgeous! The shark started engulfing Jim's legs like two logs going through a wood chipper. Jim's feet hit the back of the shark's throat while he caressed the shark's massive head and snout, like Fabio embracing a woman on a romance novel. You came so quickly! I tried posting an ad on Craigslist for a vore experience, but I had no takers. I eventually had to settle for a hand job. You don't understand. I've wanted this for so long. When I was younger, at Christian Bible camp, I even fantasized that my sleeping bag would eat me. The shark's eyes rolled back in ecstasy. The shark pulled Jim underwater like a carny in a dunk tank. No! That's not my fantasy! I don't want to drown! I want you to eat me! The shark was feasting like Rosie O'Donnell at a hot dog eating contest. The slaughterhouse of sensual suction and seduction caused Jim to grab the shark's gills. Yeah, you like it when I tug on your fucking gills. Yeah, I'm sticking my fingers in your gill hole. I want you to eat me whole, so fishermen can discover my body in your stomach. Jim was bleeding everywhere, which reminded him of the punch bowl accident he had at a company Christmas party. Now I know what it's like for a woman to menstruate, Jim said. But no Tampax pad could suck up all of his sweetness. You don't know this, but I Brazilian wax my private region just for you. Jim yelled passionately. I know I wouldn't like hair in my food. I had so much ass hair, I could make a sweater for my cat, Mr. Whiskers. I'll sure miss him. I also colon cleansed my body so you wouldn't eat too much poop. Don't I taste good? But then he started shitting with excitement. I'm so sorry! That must have been the extra laxatives I took. This isn't going as planned, but at least I'm not a Mexican. Because if you eat a Mexican, you'll have the shits for weeks. Jim was so turned on, he started fucking his own ass with his snorkel. Even if your fantasy is to be eaten by a shark, when the time comes and you're bleeding everywhere and your body is a mangled mess, I have a hard time believing you're going to start fucking yourself with your snorkel. I think at that point, you're kind of just a spectator almost. You really don't have any control anymore. The shark had Jim's entire leg in its mouth. He started throwing beads on the shark's snout, yelling, "Show me your teeth! Show me your teeth!" I fucking love vore. I used to jerk off when I watched people eat live African hissing cockroaches on Fear Factor, Jim admitted. The shark was making out with his organs, which looked like hamburger helper and spaghetti now. I know it was 1987 since you did Jaws the Revenge, and that movie finished your career, but I can relate. I was once an aspiring actor with dreams of being the greatest burlesque dancer or landing a part in a Lifetime movie. That's also my dream. Oh, just to work with Marky Post or Judith Light. Isn't that every boy's little fantasy? Maybe Valerie Bertinelli as a battered wife. All right, yes. But I had fewer roles than the famous house guest Cato Kaelin, and my career was brutally decapitated like Nicole Simpson. Ooh. I knew my mother was right when she suggested landscaping, but know this one thing. I will not be acting when I have my orgasm. So now I share my talents on something called cable access. You would have no idea what I'm talking about since your movies rerun on TBS Blockbuster Fridays. I'm just so starstruck right now. Jim started flopping around like someone having a seizure in a fierce game of double dutch. His legs started to sting like he was wearing leather pants made of bumblebees, and they were not the loose-fit kind. This is so ironic because I used to cut myself as a teenager, but now you're doing the cutting with hundreds of your fucking Ginsu knives inside of me. Ooh! I know this is the end, and there were so many things I wanted to accomplish in life, like travel to all 50 states, skydive, or swim with a dolphin, but I guess you'll have to do. Then Jim screamed like a queer. I've never felt so alive! Make love to me with your mouth! God damn! I'm gonna get a big hickey after this one! Jim started talking in the third person. Yeah, that's right. You like Jim. Will you snap into a Slim Jim? Snap into a Slim Jim! God, you're making Jimmy really wet! Yes! Yes! Jim screamed as he shot his load all over the shark's face. Slurp it up! You know you like it! You want to eat my balls? Nibble on my bits? Nibble on them! Ooh! I thought I'd never say this, but I think I love you. You complete me, even though I'm just a torso. You had me at Crunch-a-Munch! You had me at Crunch! More sharks circled Jim's bloodbath, just like the paparazzi Jim wished would have followed him in Hollywood. But in a weird way, he was glad there were no cameras, because this was a private love affair. And besides, his hair was completely messed up, which looked like he had a bad comb-over. This would have destroyed him in the tabloids. Jim was rapidly losing blood, and the jaws of life were literally closing. Jim's fraternity friends were in amazement. Rusty said, "Gee, he's really doing a good job at acting. He really looks like he's drowning. His acting has improved since his high school role in Jesus Christ Superstar." Little did they know a shark's teeth were dug deep into Jim's flesh, like Jesus Christ's crown of thorns. Jim wasn't acting. Jim wasn't drowning. He was drowning in love. The lifeguard leaped off the command post like a rabid dog chasing a slobbery tennis ball. She drove her boat out to rescue Jim like a rodeo clown saving a bullfighter. "No! Leave me alone! This is what I've always wanted! You're like the stage hook pulling away my dreams of becoming an actor! Well, I'm not letting you take this dream away!" With all her might, the lifeguard pulled Jim out of the mouth of the great white. She dragged him on her boat and then beat the living shit out of him.
"Hey! You stupid son of a bitch! Why did you swim past the goddamn warning sign?"
Brad then drunkenly cheered. "Oh man, Jim is gonna score tonight! They're practically fucking out there! She's gonna perform CPR on his fat cock!" Jim was rushed to the emergency room and later was transported to the hospital. His frat buddies joined him at his bedside. "Did you see the smoking nurse with the big tits? It's every guy's fantasy for the nurse to fuck you right here on the table," Derek suggested. "Well, I can't do anything about that because the shark ate my cock," Jim said as he showed them the scars. Jim cried, "It was like someone ran cheese graters over and over on my genitals. It felt so good." Brad slurred, "Oh man, are you going to be able to pick up the chicks tonight? I want some fucking chicks now. I want them like instant oatmeal. I want to sow my wild oats with my hot fucking cream." I'm not leaving the hospital for a while," Jim said. "Don't be a fucking buzzkill," Brad said. "We don't need you anyways. Let's go find some drunk chicks and bang them back to the Stone Age," as he crushed a beer can against his head. Jim stayed in Mexico. After months of healing, he went back to the same beach. Jim noticed it was difficult to talk to women as a paraplegic. He even tried nestling his body into the sand, pretending to be buried up to his waist, but eventually the women found out and scattered like Gene Simmons' sperm on a typical Kiss tour. Jim thought to himself, "People are so artificial. Where can I find a real woman?" Jim then looked up and saw a familiar face.
"Woo!
Do you remember me? I'm Margaret," the woman said as she was popping some bubble wrap and adjusted her helmet. Margaret said, "Now you know what it's like to be disadvantaged. But why not take a fresh new start on life? I forgive you. Come on, friend." They grabbed each other's hands, and Margaret gleefully dragged Jim's half-body on the beach. It was a newfound friendship. They then found a message in a bottle that washed up on the beach. They opened it, and it said, "The moral of the story is, there are many fish in the sea, and some you don't want to fuck with. But if you look close enough, you may just find that pearl in the oyster." They both looked up at each other, then looked up to the lifeguard, smiled, and gave two big thumbs up. Rock on, my friend. Rock on. The end. There you go, Sextastic Tuesday for June 24th, 2008. Thank you so much, Corey, for another great story. And with that, let's get into the crazy, bizarre, twisted, fucked up news right now. Today's Sideshow exclusive bonus episode of Distorted View will have you screaming,
"Oh, man! Ah!"
Who the hell is Bill, and why is he torturing this dying cow? Find out on today's bonus episode. Plus, drunk cripples, nuclear wedges, and why one fetus won't be feeling the of a giant cock tapping on its soft, partially formed head. Oh, and of course, this.
If I try his milk, would he try my milk?
And yes, he's referring to straight from the nipple milk. All of this plus much more on today's bonus episode of the show. If you're not a member, $5 a month or $50 a year, that's all it takes. SuperFreakSideshow.com, you get full access to the entire archive of programs, plus extended shows, exclusive shows, and video casts. SuperFreakSideshow.com! Got three quick stories for you, and then we'll get the hell out of here. The first one comes from our most fucked up state. Say it with me.
Florida. Our most fucked up state.
Fucking thrilling.
It is, isn't it? A Tampa woman learned the hard way that a man she told police was her pimp was probably not the best choice of a babysitter. No, probably not. Honestly, I can't think of a worst babysitter.
Yeah, that feels good, doesn't it?
Okay, maybe there are worse babysitters, but if your babysitter is a pimp, the plus side is you might be able to make a little scratch. The woman told police that she left her one-year-old son with Odonga Kenya Rush while she worked. Work should really be in quotation marks. It's not like she was an analyst for Merrill Lynch or something. No, she was fucking a dude for cash. Police reported that she was supposed to pick the child up Friday evening, but was told by Rush that she would not get the child back until she earned $300. According to police, officers waited for Rush at his home. Who would have thought? An unethical pimp. Never heard of such a thing. However, if the New York Stock Exchange started trading pimp stock, I would definitely put my money in him. He's a slave driver. You know what I mean? He knows how to get the women working. According to police, officers waited for Rush at his home until he showed up. Rush was arrested and the child was returned to his mother. Jail records show Rush was being held on several charges, including interference with child custody and extortion. No bond has been set. Second story we have for you today, it's a Distorted View news update, I believe. A former restaurant cook has pleaded guilty to a food tampering charge, alleging he inserted hairs into a steak before giving it to a dissatisfied customer. I love how the news story keeps it kind of vague in the first paragraph. Inserted hairs. As you read on, you learn it was a patch of pubic hair that was stuffed in the steak. Ryan Kropp, 24, of West Bend, was fired along with another cook after the incident at the Texas Roadhouse restaurant in West Bend, Wisconsin. Kropp was charged in Washington County Circuit Court with a felony charge of placing foreign objects in edibles, carrying up to 3.5 years in prison. The criminal complaint said that when a manager asked a customer how his steak was, the customer said it was somewhat overdone, although he had almost finished eating it and refused an offer of a new steak. But the manager insisted on having Kropp prepare a new steak the way the customer wanted it, medium rare, so he could take it home. The customer called the restaurant and police after finding hair as he was eating the steak the next day. And the dude smiles. He's just got a bunch of pubic hair sticking out of his teeth. Did you just go down on a dude? No, I'm just enjoying my lunch. According to the complaint, a second kitchen worker told police Kropp had put a slit in the cook steak and pushed something inside, then stated, "These are my pubes," referring to his pubic hair. Kropp told police he put a few of his facial hairs on the steak, saying he was angry the customer sent the other steak back and thought he was just trying to get free stuff, the complaint said. Judge James Mulbauer scheduled a sentencing August 12th. So there you go. Second story we have for you today. A man has fucked a sheep, not once, not twice, not three times, not four times, not even five. I feel like a Ron Popeil commercial here. What if I told you this man fucked a sheep six times? And he did it while chopping carrots with my Dial-O-Matic food slicer. Ting! Animal charities and farm workers have condemned a spat of sick animal attacks, which are believed to have left two sheep dead. On one hand, I'm disgusted by this pervert's actions. On the other hand, I'm kind of impressed that he was able to fuck sheep dead. What a divine rod he must have. I don't think with my equipment I'd be able to fuck a sheep dead. I might be able to tickle them. They might laugh and say, oh, did a fly get in there or something? Over recent months, the Times newspaper has heard reports of a tall black man.
The legend of Nigger Charlie.
I always wondered what that legend was about. Now I know. Just a tall black man raping sheep. Yes, there's been reports of a tall black man sexually assaulting sheep, but it wasn't until last week that witnesses formally reported it to police. The attacks happened in and around Tong's farm in Botany Bay Lane in the UK, six times between March and June, and varies in time between 3 to 8 p.m. He's an early evening type of sheep fucker. Last Monday at 7:20 p.m., two shock joggers saw a man sexually assaulting a sheep in a field before he ran off, leaving some gray jogging bottoms at the scene. Are you sure that's all he left? Didn't leave any country gravy? They first became suspicious when they spotted him pulling up his trousers and pulling down his black polo top as he stood near a sheep that was lying on the ground, smoking a cigarette. Believing him to have had sexual contact with the sheep, they alerted a National Trust warden, who arrived at the same time as the farmer who helped the sheep to its feet and discovered a discarded jogging bottom. Stable girl Chloe Williams witnessed another incident on May 16th. She said, I saw him in broad daylight. I was in the yard and only looked over because all the sheep were running. Leave it to a black man to fuck all our white sheep. Animal rescuer Eddie Williams said a little while back, two poor sheep were found dead, and we think the two are connected. A red jumper was found under one of the dead sheep. Dude, you need to stop leaving your clothes at the scene of the crime. The RSPCA called the gruesome assault outrageous, adding, we are very concerned that someone is abusing animals in this way and completely condemn it. It's completely outrageous. It can cause serious suffering and distress to the animals. We would be happy to assist the police in their investigation. It's possible to use rape kits and get DNA from the sheep. Of course, we would be happy to arrange for vets to help police do this. Penetration of or by an animal known as bestiality is illegal and carries a sentence of up to 2 years of imprisonment. Honestly, I think if the animal is penetrating you, there should be a lighter sentence. Actually, I don't think there should be a sentence. If you want to get fucked by an animal, you know, that's your thing. I think that's fine. You're not hurting the animal. The animal's having a good time. But if you're doing the fucking, then yeah, sure. Okay, I can understand being put away for that. Is that the last story? Yeah, we talked about the sheep and the pubic steak and the moon and the stars and the this and the that and the pimp. That'll do it. Yeah. That, my friends, is your distorted news for Tuesday. Let's do a couple voicemails and get the hell out of here. All right, let's check in with my freaky deekies.
Hey, Tim. It's Jason from Strathmore, Alberta, Canada. Mm-hmm. I'm just phoning to give you a bizarre sex term or two.
All right, bizarre sex term time.
It's bizarre sex terms on Distorted View.
Okay, I don't think we've ever played that one before on the show. All right, what is your bizarre sex
term or two? I got the first one. It's called a doggy rollover.
Okay.
It's when you're fucking a chick and you just try and get her to do a full rollover with your dick inside of her.
Ah,
you know, you
okay.
could put it in the ass or the vagina.
Yes.
You know, either one. Or there's the rotisserie.
Okay.
Which is
pretty self-explanatory.
You can do it with two guys and one girl. You most likely have to do it with two guys and one girl.
Right.
And you just double team her and put one in her mouth and one in her ass or vagina and get her to do a full rollover.
Oh, I see. Then you roll her over and that makes it a rotisserie. Okay, gotcha.
Hello, Timmy darling. It's me again. I'm just calling because, well, two reasons. One, I thought it was very quaint that you managed to work 666, the devil's number, into your voicemail line. And two, I have a campaign slogan for your presidential run. I thought it might be quaint if you piggybacked off the James Bond movement, you know, kind of that suave, debonair air that you yourself bring to the world. And I was thinking the ideal slogan would be, Tim Henson, he'll take that baby shaken, not stirred.
Oh, very nice.
Anyways, that's all. Whatever, cheerio, ta-ta, toodaloo, and whatnot.
But not indeed. Cheerio.
Hey, Tim. I wouldn't worry about that guy, Eric, stealing your sideshows from his girlfriend. Because you know in about a month, she's going to dump him for a guy who can actually grow facial hair.
Ooh.
And then he's going to be so hooked that he's going to have to go and buy his own membership.
Jagoo to you. Poor Eric. He's a nice guy. Now everyone's going to dump on him.
Hey, Tim, it's Sideshow member Ben from Boston here.
Hi, Ben.
I called a few days ago, and actually, that crazy reverend guy is Willie Wilson. My bad. The memory's going already, my friend.
And I
heard the show a couple days back, and someone had a Linda Finkel Hall of Fame nominee with a hip-hop song. The song is Macaron Chacaron, and if you did some research on it, you'd find out that it's actually a parody of how stupid hip-hop sounds. I don't really think it qualifies.
No, it certainly doesn't qualify as a Linda Finkel Hall of Fame nominee, and I'm ashamed. I'm going to find out who sent that in and publicly shame him. I don't want parodies of songs. I want people who really think they can sing.
Why did you kill me, mommy?
Like this tard.
When God made me special for you. Why did you pop out of my mouth? I'm putting you in the trunk with a toast soup for fucking ice cream.
A little Marky checking in.
Distorted View is awesome. It's awesome because it's offensive. It's offensive because it's funny. It's funny for babies to fall into microwaves. And if it wasn't funny, and you didn't point out how funny it was, nobody would be able to deal with it. It's offensive because it stands up and it says, fuck you and your PC bullshit. You make everything fucking boring. Guess who has that same appeal, Tim?
Who?
Guess who has exactly the same audience that you do?
Who?
They just don't know it yet. That's right, y'all. Fuck off. If you ain't down with the clown, bitch. Ha!
Okay. Oh, is this an Insane Clown Posse fan checking in, maybe? Who knows?
Hey, Tim. Sideshow member here.
Down with the clown.
Well, a couple things. I just moved to Ohio, outside of Columbus,
Anyway,
I've been listening since 2005. I'm going to be legal this year in August.
Hey! It's my birthday, too.
So, yeah, you've been...
Oh, no. She just gave up. Poor girl. All right.
Hey, Tim. I've been a Sideshow member here.
She's trying again.
I've been listening since 2005. I was 15. I'm going to be legal this year in August.
Okay.
So thank you for keeping me company and sane all through high school.
You're welcome.
I love the show.
Thank you. It has
made me so fucked up, and I love it. Keep up the good work. All right. Bye.
All right. Well, that one, she was able to get her point across at least.
Tim, I have just heard, I'm a few days behind, but I've just heard the slogan. You guys said it. Somebody called in and said it on the show, and then you just said it at the end of the show. It's Feed My Sickness, of course. So, Feeding Your Sickness, Henson 08.
Very good. Yeah, that could be a slogan. Like, what is that? I don't know what that is.
Hey, Tim. Another underage caller.
Mm-hmm.
You played something a couple months back that was a really funny, like, completely retarded-sounding song that was like, do-do-do, do-do-do, do-do-do-do. And I was just wondering if you could say the, like, the name of whoever does
what
that song on your next show.
I don't know what that was. Dude, hey, Tim, you played a song on the show and went like this, do-do-do-do-do. What is it? Oh, no. You're going to have to give me more than that. All right. That is all the time we have on this edition of Distorted View. I want you guys to email me, show at distortedview.com. Distortedview.com is our official website. Voicemail line for you, 206-666-4463. That's 206-666-OH-GOD. As in, oh, God, we've discovered the legend of Nigga Charlie. Vote for us at Podcast Alley. Subscribe via iTunes. Dig us on dig.com. Got a bonus episode for you Sideshow Freaks. If you're not a member, sign up now. SuperFreakSideshow.com. And we'll see you back tomorrow on the Big Wednesday Show. Until then, bye, everybody!
Everybody is great.
Lots of groups in this country want to tell you how to talk, tell you what you can't talk about. Well, sometimes they'll say, well, you can talk about something, but you can't joke about it. Like rape. They'll say, you can't joke about rape. Rape's not funny. I say, fuck you. I think it's hilarious. How do you like that? I can prove to you that rape is funny. Picture Porky Pig raping Elmer Fudd.